Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicerino back. We got an exit interview today. We've got Mariah Gaynor, the first player voted out at Mergatory or at the Merge, whatever it was. Mariah got voted out, did not make it to get that shred red buff at the Merge. We're going to talk with Mariah here, and then we'll do a little This Week in Survivor History as I've been taking on the trivia titans of the new era. And Franny Marin is going to join me to do a little This Week in Survivor History to raise some money for charity. If I lose, I will pay $100 to the charity of Franny's choice. That's coming up after the exit interview. Of course, you could see This Week in Survivor History and my exit interview coming up here with Mariah on our YouTube channel at robiswebsite.com/YouTube, where you could also catch my conversation last night post-game with Dr. Evie Jagoda. I thought it was one of the best ones of the season. I had a lot of fun breaking this all down with Evie. I think there's a lot to unpack, really, from the way that this merge situation is shaping up. And of course, I will do just that with Stephen Fishback on the Know-It-Alls today, live at 1:30 p.m. Eastern time. I see that we have a Mariah on the line. Let's go ahead and bring her in. Hey, Mariah, what's going on? Rob Cicerino here. How are you?
You know, I'm hanging in there. My game might not have life, but I'm still here. Yeah, so I'm doing well.
Okay. Excited to get the chance to talk finally, and got a lot of questions for you about everything. You know, as a viewer, I was kind of blindsided going into the tribal council. Seems like you weren't. How did you know that this was going to be it for you?
So the fact that they had that I was able to say in the first confessional of the episode, I got the shot in the dark in my pocket. I knew Mergatory was going to be really tough for me. Not only did I just vote, you know, wrong with my tribe, I'm one of the few remaining Seagulls who hasn't been on a journey. So I hadn't been able to make those connections over that maybe other people had. So going in, I knew it was going to be rough. And then we got that rock draw and I'm like, okay, so me going home tonight is now up from 40% to 70%. And then when we lost the challenge, I'm like, okay, now it's like sitting around 99.5%, just knowing that the only two people going to bat for me at Sega are Tim, who, you know, you don't really see us talking much. We're a little bit on opposite ends of the Seeker spectrum. And Ben, who I had literally written his name down 24 hours ago.
So I really thought that you came in and I thought you did a good job in terms of what you could have done. I felt like that you, the tribe had a plan. You followed what the tribe did. And I felt like that ultimately you were more done in by how the tribe played in conversations that you weren't present in. Is that how you saw it?
Absolutely. I mean, I in a word, I was pissed because at the end of the day, my game is kind of stopped by guys at a table I'm not invited by, to be completely blunt. And that's just not how I love to live my life. So kind of like seeing that play out, feeling that like sense of impending, like my fate has been sealed through something of not really in a way my own making. It was difficult, but at the same time, I was granted this gift that you don't get a lot in Survivor, which is true knowledge of I know I am 99.9% going home tonight. So I know I can say whatever the F I want at this tribal. I can throw stuff at the wall. I can call people out. I can speak truth. I can speak my truth because at the end of the day, I'm probably going home anyway. So I might as well go out on my terms because that's the only thing here I can control.
Prior to that tribal council, do you feel like, is there anything that you could have done differently?
Something I could have done differently was probably rig the first journey a little bit better so I could go. But apart from that, I mean, I did have pretty strong ties with Charlie and Maria still. And there's a lot of like, oh my God, like she should have flipped or something like that. But no, that was really genuine of that moment where I went to Charlie and I'm like, hey, as a friend, like this is tough. I get it for you with Ben. And that was me kind of not only like establishing that like, hey, we still get as friends, but also me giving him that message of like, I know something fishy's going on. I still like, let's still work together after.
Yeah.
And that was something that I felt very comfortable on and something that, you see me talking to Charlie on the beach about Venus and him talking to me about Venus and giving me that intel and even telling like that he's talking to Tim and talking to Ben. It's because he still trusted me.
You know, I'd love to go back to last week's episode because I feel like I still have so many questions about the gem vote. And maybe you do also. Do you have any insight into, did the tribe explain to you how it switched where Maria says, okay, we're good, we're going to vote out Ben tonight to ultimately where Gem gets voted out?
Yeah, kind of what I was told and something that is pretty true is that just, it was more specific of a Gem thing, right? Of like, we're going into this merge. We hadn't really been tested before. And she was just a little bit more difficult to read, especially for Charlie and Maria, who are making like these connections with us. You had the Tim thing, which, you know, like that, like their connection there, you had Charlie and Ben. And so it was just like a little bit more of a tangled web on this side of the options than it was with Gem. And I think that that was really attractive and enticing to them. And I mean, specifically with the Gem vote, like I said, like there's just something a little bit fishy going on there based on the scramble, the temperament, even like listening to like Ben answer questions. I'm like, these are not the answers of a man going home tonight. Mm-hmm. So in the voting booth, I kind of had this decision of like, do I prove I can be right or I can be trustworthy? And, you know, even if I caught something or I caught a whiff of something, I told my alliance, I'm voting this way and I'm not going home tonight. I might as well prove to them that they can trust me moving forward. Mm-hmm. Even if, you know, I have to bite my ego and be what is it? A live fool for a little bit.
Yeah. What's up with that? Or a dead know-it-all?
Yeah. You could be either a living fool or a dead know-it-all. And that's kind of it of like, I you could be right, but like that proves you're not trustworthy, or you can eat your ego a little bit and prove that like, hey, like you told me to vote a certain way. Like I did it. Like, here we are like, ha ha, joke's on you, but I'm still here. And our trust is still kind of intact.
From your perspective, Mariah, tell me, what about the business with the Gem idol? What did you think was going on there?
So I half thought it was Tim, and half didn't care if it actually was. I just wanted him gone. So I'm like, if I could paint a target on this man's back, that's fine by me. But I knew on like day two of digging, there's nothing here. Jeff doesn't lie. Like we are seeing China at this point in this hole. So, you know, someone planted this here, meaning someone already found it, meaning someone also already found something else because they feel confident enough that they know where the real idol is, that they can now just like throw this out willy nilly and people aren't going to be scrambling because it's found, it's done. So I was a little annoyed by day four. I'm like, shoddy work, man. If you're going to plant a fake note, plant a fake idol so we can just say like, oh my God, we found it, and then never talk about it again and stop getting eaten alive by giant ants.
I want to talk about the conversation that you had with Q in the episode where you started talking about your survivor influences. You talked about Aubrey. That really seemed to rub Q the wrong way. He apparently is not an Aubrey fan. What was your reaction upon seeing, because I'm sure you, I take it you did not know about that reaction on the island.
Oh, no, I did. That was like, I talked to a lot of people. Let me tell you, that was the most uncomfortable conversation of my entire life. You could like cut that tension with a knife. Like you said, I was like, oh, yeah, I like Aubrey. And I even knew Q based on how we had seen him have conversations. I could tell he's a very stubborn guy, right? He has a very specific paradigm of people. And I'm probably not someone he has a good paradigm for. So if I say something like this, he's probably going to be like, she is Aubrey. So when I said it, I was very intentional to frame it of, I don't want to talk about her game. I don't even want to talk about the season she's on. I want to frame it about Aubrey's impact on me and what it meant to me seeing someone like her play. And even that, I saw him just, there's a switch and he just was just like, oh, okay. And I'm like, this is really bad. Like it was immediate. And let me tell you too, it was a two-sided conversation. So I had asked him, like he had asked me what my favorite player is. And I'm like, oh, like beforehand, like what is yours? And he had told me his favorite player is Jeremy Collins, by the way.
Yeah.
So coming off of Jeremy Collins, I'm like, oh, okay, I can say Aubrey. Like, that's an impact.
Right.
And he's just like, no, Aubrey's too intimidating. Jeremy's a family man. He's low key. He's chill. Like, and I'm like, oh, you know, that winner dude. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. That, that won 10-0.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, that's totally fine. He's not intimidating at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So tell me a little bit more about, in the preseason, you talked about how that you were very concerned about that you were going to try to hide your insecurities. And then Mike had asked you about what was going to be your issues in the game. You were worried about overthinking. You were worried about that. But I don't think that really was the case.
No, I mean, the good and bad news is Seager just kept getting second. So I didn't really have that many opportunities to overthink. I mean, I overthought a lot, but I didn't have that many opportunities to overplay because there wasn't a lot of like play and action happening. And as I got a little bit more comfortable and a little bit more footing, you know, you're going into this game and you're on Survivor Twitter and everyone's strategy, but really it's about relationships. And that's not something you can really express well online, or it's a feeling that you can get. And I think that kind of helped quell my mind a little bit of a like, okay, I don't need to be thinking 10 steps ahead. I need to be thinking 4 steps ahead because I have these relationships that will fill in the other 6. So that really helped me out there get adjusted, get a little bit more at ease, move up from the first episode where I'm crying in my first confessional. And I'm like, oh my God, my sister is going to give me so much shit for crying in my first confessional, to really understanding relationships and what they play in the game.
It was a big moment in the show where you were working on your jumping and you were learning to jump. Was that all for real?
No, that is 10,000% for real. I'm historically a terrible jumper. When I went on Wipeout, actually, my friend tried to do the exact same thing. And luckily there were no jumps in Wipeout. But if like the sweeper arm had come around, I might've just like, bloop, oh no, I'm out, my bad. But I watched this episode with my dad. And after the jumping scene, I'm like, hey dad, what'd you think of it? He just like, oh yeah, I knew that. Supporting you in basketball was the hardest thing I had ever did in your childhood, sitting through your basketball games. And I'm like, cool. So no, that is real. That is historic. And now everyone gets to see it forever, I guess.
Could you talk a little bit more about the Seega tribe dynamics? Like, did you know about Maria's closeness with Charlie?
So you can tell that Maria, and I could tell that Maria and Charlie were close. I didn't know how close, which is awesome. Like, that's such a cool thing to learn, honestly, after game. I'm kind of nerding out on it a bit. But in the game, I knew that they were close, especially in the Seega scramble. It was very apparent that, you know, you have Ben and Tim here. Somehow Jem and me are over here. And you can see Charlie and Maria flowing together. And I'm like, there's no way that these two people just randomly ended up in the middle together with no connection. There's something there. There's a bond there that's keeping those two more together than keeping me and Maria, or me and Charlie, or Jem.
You had the chance to talk to Venus about potentially a name for a name, but you felt like that she was playing very hard. Could you tell us a little bit more about that interaction?
Yeah, I thought so. Going there, just body language alone, Venus is on the bottom. In challenges, Venus is on the bottom. Like, it is just plain as day. So I thought it was a very interesting move from her, of someone on the bottom, to not go and say like, hey, I'm a number, I want to work with you, to say, hey, give me information. Hey, I, like, she was asking for information to play her own game, not really a social or an opportunity to unite or join a game or work with someone. So to me, that's where I'm like, she's playing, because if she's willing to, you know, go around and sell her information about her own tribe to us, I give her information about Seega, what's she going to turn around and flip that to? She going to go to Yanu now and say, hey, I have intel on Seega. So that's what kind of rubbed me in that way. It wasn't really a true, like, she wants to work with me.
Yeah. On the other hand, was there an opportunity for you to take that approach and go to the other players from NAMI or YANU and offer yourself up as a vote to potentially avoid what happened to you?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. But when you're on the bottom and you say, you know, take me or leave me, you can get left. And especially going into this dynamic on the bottom, you know, the two ways are basically, hey, like, great, come on in, join the club, kid, or great, now I know who I can vote out and not piss off four other people. Mm-hmm. And when you got this, like, weird, like 5v5 exactly with three in the middle at Murgatory, and the three are not even immune, which is wild. It's more about convincing those three to like pick a side in the war than shuffle the cards at that moment.
It's a tough spot for sure. Mm-hmm. What else do you want to let people know about your time on Survivor, Mariah?
What else do I want people to know? I think a lot that goes on, again, cannot be characterized for TV. You only have so much time, but the relationships that you're able to build out there, they're real, but there's also game moves. Relationships are strategy out there, and it's tough to articulate what builds up. So even when you're on the outs of a vote, sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes it's good to be a bottom. Sometimes it's not. Being a bottom's tough. But ultimately, Survivor is a game.
Yeah.
And there are going to be 17 losers of Survivor every season until they up it to 20. And
knock on wood. Yeah.
Knock on wood. Most people lose. So it's really, you can only take what you can take, and it probably won't be a million. So you might as well take something away.
Okay. Well, Mariah, great to talk to you here today. Wish you nothing but the best. I know you got to run. Thanks for making some time to talk. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Take care. And watch that dead know-it-all talk. Okay. Not always appreciated. All right. Okay.
You're living.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
All right, everybody, there you have it, Mariah Gaynor. And nice to chat with Mariah. Yeah, I really do feel like that she was in a tough spot. I don't like to editorialize too much in my conversation with the evicted players or the voted out players. But yeah, she's in this really tough spot where if she pushes too much and like, hey, I'm a free agent, everybody, like then Sega is like, oh, what the hell do we need Mariah for? So, you know, she went with the plan that the people at Sega said, but ultimately, like, they didn't deliver for her. And in the same way that, you know, Venus, by being more aggressive in how she is, like, going out and being opportunistic is probably a better word. You know, it was like, okay, well, We're not as worried about Venus, but, you know, it was because they were trying to protect Mariah too much. You know, it's interesting. I have a lot more to say about this. I'll talk about it with Steven on the Know-It-Alls. I also thought it was interesting that Mariah talked about how one thing that she could have done differently was to be on a journey. We saw Maria went on a journey. Ben went on a journey. Tim went on a journey from her tribe. And, you know, so many of us in sort of like the podcaster seat and Twitter seat, like, oh, only an idiot would go on the journey. But it does sound like from talking to Mariah that there is like some opportunity cost of not going on the journey, especially on this season where it seems like without a tribe swap that players are like really these connections have value. And so by Mariah not having these other people like vouching for her from being on a journey, it sounds like that did cost her in the game. There was an opportunity, I thought, for her where when Tim ended up going on the journey, I don't know how much there was like premeditated from Sega, but Hunter is like, hey, does anybody want to go on the journey? And Tim is like, I'll go. So maybe there was a chance for her there to go on a journey. But interesting, you know, I have to maybe change my prescription up a little bit where I'm like, don't get on the boat. What are you, crazy? Don't go on the journey. But I think that really maybe you're better off to go on the journey and then potentially like not have to play in the game or potentially lose your vote. All right. Talk about that all more with the other living know-it-all, Steven, later on today. We've got a great This Week in Survivor History game coming up. that we are going to be welcoming back Franny Marin to take me on in This Week in Survivor History when we come back right after this. All right, here we go. Time for some This Week in Survivor History trivia. And we are back here with the trivia master, Jordan Kalish. Jordan, how are you?
I'm great, Rob. And if you're watching on video, you wouldn't be surprised to find out that I am mesmerized by your shirt right now.
Yes. Oh, thank you, Jordan.
Hypnotized.
Okay.
I don't know what to think.
All right. Well,
there's so many shapes. There's triangles.
Yep. Got this at Dan Flashes. So, yeah.
I like what's going on with the shirt.
Okay. All right. And here with us, very excited to have back with us here in season 46 of podcasting. We kicked off this season with a bang, and now she's back. It's Franny Marin. Franny, how are you?
I am great. I'm also a little thrown off by the shirt. I wonder if it's like a tactic.
Maybe.
Trying to confuse and alarm Maybe. Me.
Franny, we're going to get started. This is your chance to do your speed run. 100 survivors, go.
Oh my God. I don't know if I could do that. First and last names. That's where I would struggle. Mm-hmm. Some of the last names escape me.
Yeah.
Have you tried this?
I have not.
Okay.
But
kind of feels like your wheelhouse. Feels like maybe you should.
I don't know about a speed run of anything is my wheelhouse.
What would be your strategy, no. Rob? Would you go like boot order starting with season one?
I think I would have to go in order. Like what I've learned with like trying to do the Taylor Swift 100 songs is like but the way my brain would go, I would just have to go in order. I would just go from start from the beginning and then go through it.
I think that makes sense.
And then anybody that I couldn't think of, I would just pass.
I think my strategy might be like final fours. Just go with the final fours.
Mm-hmm.
And once you get to season 25, you're good.
That's heavy. Okay. All right.
Oh, Franny. That's a good strategy.
Yeah. What's new, Franny?
Well, what's new is this past weekend, Matt's band, Sayonara Picnic, had their first like really big public performance.
Yes.
And a couple of listeners came out and watched. It was
incredible.
Really fun.
Yes. And how'd the show go?
Oh, it was great. It was a beautiful day. They crushed it. They sounded wonderful. They're
yes.
really happy.
Okay. Well, very happy to hear that. Okay. Franny, we are giving the Trivia Titans of the New Era the opportunity to win $100 for the charity of their choice. Mm-hmm. If for whatever reason I should ever win again, then your charity would get no money. But next week's trivia contender would have the opportunity to get $200.
That'd be pretty big.
Okay. So last week I've lost actually 2 weeks in a row. First to Jake, then to Omer. I'm looking to stop the slide here, Franny. So,
yeah.
Who are you playing for this week?
That's why you brought me in. Mm-hmm. Got to dumb it down a little bit.
No, bring
it
back to
mental level. I am bringing up the charity Point of Pride. It provides access to like medical care and health and wellness care for trans folks, especially trans youth. It's a great organization.
Okay. Sounds like it. For their sake, I hope you do great today.
Yes, I know.
No pressure.
So. Recording. No pressure. It was just Trans Visibility.
Yes, the day after while we're recording. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I know.
Okay. All right. So Jordan Kalish is going to give us some seasons, I believe.
Yes, I will give you the six seasons that I have written questions about for this week. These are going to be about all the episode sixes in Survivor history. So we are going to either Heroes versus
Season
Villains.
Sixes in Survivor history? Is that what I heard?
Episode sixes in Survivor history.
Okay.
I think season sixes in Survivor history, Rob, you might have a little bit of an advantage there. So these are going to be episode sixes in Survivor history. We have Heroes, Villains, South Pacific, Blood versus Water, Kagiyan, Worlds Apart, and Season 41.
Whoa. And
yeah, could you say those Franny, one more time, Jordan?
Yes. Heroes versus Villains, South Pacific, Blood versus Water, Kagiyan, Worlds Apart, and Season 41. Franny, as the guest, you get to choose the first season. I realize we have a lot of seasons here from the 20s. Known as a very top heavy
especially Blood versus Water. Yes. So Franny, could you have put all the logos in order? Could you have done that?
Yeah. So I was watching that episode with Helen from my season, and we did pause the screen and we did pretty well. We did pretty well.
Okay.
So we switched two of them. But besides that, I do think under pressure, I would have been able to get.
Yeah. But Matt, no chance, right?
Oh, there's no chance. Not even. He didn't even try. I told him I was doing this, yeah. And he was like,
"Sayonara,
I
picnic.
Can't help you."
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So he will not be a phone a friend option on this quiz.
Yeah.
No.
Do you think that there's one challenge they'll come up with on the journey where he'd be able to keep his vote?
Oh.
Have they had one yet that you feel like that this would have been his challenge?
Would have been his one. Maybe the mental math actually.
Okay.
That Emily Flippin did. I feel like he could rock.
And that was a tough one.
That's a Google. He's a smart cookie. That was a tough one.
Yeah.
That's probably his best bet.
Name that sayonara picnic song.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Jeff really wants to expose the band. Yeah.
He loves music.
He does.
Okay. All right.
All right. So Franny
goes first.
What season are you going to first? You have the first choice.
Okay. I think I'm going to go to... Okay, I kind of don't like that I have to choose first. Sorry. I'm going to go to... Also, can I just ask you a question? I feel like people, when they're going through the... I feel like people are really quiet as they're thinking of their answers. Is it okay if I, like,
yes,
talk it?
Yes, please.
Sure, yeah, talk it through. We love that.
Okay, I'm like, my palms are kind of sweating. Okay, I'm going to go with... I'm going to go with Kagyan.
Okay. Kagyan, one of my favorite seasons in Survivor history. At the merge vote in which LJ and Tony played idols for each other and Sarah was voted out by a 6-5 vote, who did the minority put their 5 votes on? So Sarah received 6. Who was the person who received 5 votes? And as always, you can answer without multiple choice for 2 points. Or if you need the multiple choice, you would get 1 point for a correct answer. If you are incorrect, Rob will have the opportunity to steal a point.
Okay. I think I know this one, actually. I think it was Jeffra.
Jeffra Bland. You did not need the multiple choice. And Franny, you're off to a 2-point start. Another strong start by one of these trivia titans of the new era. Franny has a 2-point lead over Rob. Yes, Jeffra was the player who received 5 votes there. And it didn't matter anyway that LJ and Tony played the idols because they switched the vote to Sarah. So Franny off to a strong start. Rob, where are we going next?
I think I'm
going to
go with Survivor 41.
All right, 41. Third week in a row that the new era contestant has not chosen a new era season to start the game, and Rob is able to get the one new era question on this quiz. At the season 41 mergatory, 2 players drew gray rocks and therefore did not participate in the team immunity challenge. One of these players was obviously Erica, who would later smash the hourglass. The other player was selected to be safe, or so they thought, by the winning team. Who was this player?
This is Nasir.
This is Nasir. That is correct. Rob, 2 points. Nasir selected to be safe. Of course, with the hourglass, he would not be safe. Kind of BS, but that's what happens. This was also an episode of Survivor history where there was no tribal council and no one was voted out, which is also kind of crazy. So we're tied 2-2. You're both doing a great job. And it is now Franny's turn. You get to choose your season.
Okay. I'm going to stick with later. I'm going to go with 30.
All right. 30. You said 30, right?
Worlds Apart.
Okay. No, I just wanted to make sure I heard you right.
What
okay,
did you so think?
I know the numbers. I could have done the cut out when she said it.
And I wasn't 100% sure what she said, but I thought that's what she said.
Yes.
I heard the D.
Yeah.
And I
Franny, what would you be? No collar?
I mean, I work in research, so I'd probably be white collar.
Okay.
Probably. I don't know if I identify with that, mm-hmm. but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not funky enough to be no collar.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
You're not a Vin Sly.
I don't sell coconuts for a living, right? Mm-hmm. Like I can't, you know, we're just different.
You're built different.
I still don't know what a teacher is. I don't know if a teacher is blue collar or white collar. I feel like it's more blue collar than white collar.
Depends what you teach. I mean, Max Dawson was white collar.
That's true. He's a professor.
Mm-hmm.
That's
at the time. Yeah.
College. Yeah. Academia.
Yeah. Yeah, he's in academia. I am often outside coaching. Yeah. So
I think phys ed teacher is probably blue collar.
I think it's blue collar. I think I associate more blue collar.
You're wearing a blue collar.
I'm literally, well, it's not a collar. I'm wearing an RHAP Bell shirt. True. But very nice shirt. Very comfy.
I think a t-shirt collar. Has a collar. Isn't a neck collar a collar?
Then why is a collared shirt called a collared shirt if regular shirts don't have collars?
You think a lot of blue collar people are wearing collared shirts?
I don't think a lot of blue collar people are having this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think blue collar people, I don't think it really associates. I think most blue collar jobs, you're not wearing a collar. I often wear a collared golf shirt when I'm teaching PE to look a little fancy.
Yeah, that's true.
What do you call it? Like a button down shirt more than a collared down. Shirt?
But it's not always a button down shirt. Sometimes it's like a polo.
Well, that's a polo.
That's true.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
But a polo is a collar. Yeah. Okay. So anyway.
All right. We're losing listeners by the second.
I think people like the fashion talk. People want to hear Jordan Kayos Belvin about this.
Quite sure they don't. Well, I'll see in the comments.
We'll see. I think mm-hmm. I have a feeling people will like this. They'll enjoy it. Anyway, Survivor Worlds Apart, Season 30, The Dirty 30. Which former blue-collar tribe mate did Mike Holloway and Rodney protect by throwing the last pre-merge immunity challenge?
Oh God. Okay.
So this is post swap, pre-merge, and they threw a challenge.
And who protected them?
This was Mike Holloway and Rodney threw the challenge in order to protect a player on the other tribe.
Okay. Was it Rodney's birthday? Yes or no? Probably.
I don't believe this was Rodney's birthday.
Okay. So who is blue collar? Sierra Don Thomas. I'm not answering. I'm
yeah. Thinking
The lady with the two different colors of hair, she had a lot to say. There was the woman with the blonde hair. She had less to say. hang on. I kind of feel, I'm kind of like, who would have been the other man? Oh, that guy with the beard. Is that one of the people that you said? No. The guy with the beard, really crinkly.
I haven't said anything yet. I haven't given, you can get the multiple choice if you want, but I have not said anything yet.
Yeah. I'm gonna go with I feel like I don't remember her name. Crap. I'm gonna go for the multiple choice.
Okay. The multiple choice. So this is gonna be for 1 point if you get the answer right. We have A, Dan Foley, B, Joaquin Sauber-Biais, C, Kelly Remington, or D, Sierra Dawn Thomas.
Can I clarify? Did you say that they were like original blue collar?
They were original blue collar.
Okay, so it's not Joaquin. And then one more time, Kelly Remington, Sierra Dawn Thomas, and Beard.
Dan Foley.
What's his name? Dan Foley. Oh, okay. I'm going to go Kelly Remington.
Kelly Remington, great ally of Mike and Roddy, and the correct answer to the question. Franny,
she did not have that much to say. You were right with that. Yeah.
She didn't have much to say. I will say, very, very nice in person. She's been to some of these
these
events before. Yeah, she's been to like when Andrea Belke used to host events, she would come, and she was always hanging out with Mike Holloway. So I guess the alliance persisted.
Yes.
Did she bonk her head?
In a blindfold challenge, they dropped blocks on her head.
This challenge that was thrown, she hit her head. I believe it was challenge.
I was envisioning her. I knew the head bonk, but the name escaped me. So okay.
I gotta fact check you on that. I do not believe that it was the blindfold challenge that they threw. They threw the challenge where it was that they were doing matching.
That's right. They were really bad at the blindfold challenge because they kept pulling up the thing. Mm-hmm. I think it might was that. Was the blindfold challenge or reward? Was it the same episode? Might have been the same episode. I'm not sure.
Don't know about
that. They definitely threw the challenge to save Kelly, and it worked.
Okay.
So now, Rob, you get to choose your season. It is Franny's up 3-2.
Okay. I'm going to go with Blood versus Water.
Okay. Blood Water. I feel like we've gone to Blood Water a lot this season. Mm-hmm. I'm going there again. It's kind of becoming the new Guatemala. Not including Laura Moret, who ended up re-entering the game from Redemption Island, which player became the first member of the original Galang tribe, aka the favorites, to get voted out at an actual tribal council?
Okay. First member to get voted out at an actual.
Yes, they had to be at tribal council.
Okay. But we're not counting Laura Moret for some reason.
because she re-entered the game. Mm-hmm. This is so the person who I guess had the worst overall placement on Galang, who got voted out of the tribal council. Also, Laura Moret was not voted out in episode 6.
So. Mm-hmm. Okay. I am a little bit torn between two people. And I honestly, I don't remember which person went first, but I'm going to go with Laura Boneham.
Laura Boneham is incorrect. So, Franny, you have a chance to steal a point here.
So, you said this was from the like the returning player tribe, not their family members.
This is the people who had played Survivor before.
Okay. Is it Kat?
Kat Ederson for 1 point is correct. Franny steals the point. She is up 4-2. That is correct. Kat went before Laura Boneham. I think, Rob, there might have been people killing me in the comments if Laura Boneham had been the right answer, because she technically started on the other tribe got switched. But this is not a technicality. Kat did get voted out before Laura. So even if I think you could sort of consider Laura original Galang, because she never really played on the other tribe. But it was not the correct answer anyway. So Franny, you have a 4-2 lead, and it is your turn to choose the question.
Okay. It's Heroes versus Villains in South Pacific left.
Correct.
Okay. I'm going to go Heroes versus Villains.
Versus Villains. When Tyson was voted out by the Villains tribe, which other two players had their names written down at tribal?
I think one was Parvati. And the other, who was on that tribe? Okay, so Tyson, Parvati, Russell was there. Rob was there. Sandra was there, Courtney. Ooh. Is it Russell himself? Parvati and Russell?
Is that your final answer?
Well, you asking that makes me wonder if it shouldn't be.
I know you were talking things out before. I didn't know if you were talking it out or if that was you.
Yeah. Oh, that was a great question. Yes. Well, I remember that Tyson kind of fudged that, didn't he? I think it was Russell. I think it was Russell and Parvati.
Russell and Parvati for the win. If you get this right, is correct, Franny. You have put yourself in a position where Rob is mathematically eliminated. Russell and Parvati. And I, of course, had written down because the Parvati votes did not count. That is absolutely correct. Tyson, Russell, and Parvati were the three players who received votes at the tribal. Rob, for third week in a row, you're donating money to a worthy charity.
Yes. Okay. Well, that's the only good news. What was the South Pacific question? Congratulations, Franny.
Wow, Franny, with the win. You said you were nervous, but there was nothing to be nervous about.
I'm sorry, I was really nervous.
This is the South Pacific question. The Upolu Majority Alliance disagreed on who should be voted out of the tribal, in which Michaela eventually got the boot. Sophie and Albert didn't vote in the majority with coach at this tribal, instead voting for which player?
Oh, God.
Edna?
Edna Ma is correct.
Two weeks in a row, Blood versus Water was my bugaboo. I have to apologize to Tyson.
Yeah. But great job, Franny. Great job, Rob, being so generous with your donations. Maybe at some point you'll win another week. I think right now Juan Soto has a better batting average than your winning average on Twitch. Okay. Here is.
Maybe he'll win.
Yeah. I mean, look. By the time this comes out, you never know. It'll be like three games from now. He could be injured. He's on the Yankees. I wouldn't put it past him. Mm-hmm. All right. Here is the verbal rebus. The verbal rebus is back. I felt bad. Omer did not get one last week. But we have the verbal rebus. the little letter on Boston Rob's hat.
Okay.
Plus the first boot of Rob's first season, Rob Cesternino's first season.
Okay.
Oh, Jesus.
Plus the brother of Survivor 42's 17th placer.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You guys both know that one. Plus Survivor Exile Island's astronaut. And that's it. That's all we have.
Okay.
Franny, do you know it?
Let me cook for a second here.
I know Rob knows it. Rob has an 100% batting average on verbal rebuses.
Never missed one yet, sadly.
I gotta say, I listened to all the previous ones and I had 100% batting average on all the previous verbal rebuses. I was very excited about them. I'm blanking on who got first from Rob's season.
It was,
but you tell me, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, okay. B on Boston Rob's hat, Ryan Aiken, Zach Wardenberger's brother is Corey. And then astronaut Dan, Brian Corridan from Jordan's beloved Survivor Guatemala.
Yeah, I couldn't do a Guatemala question on this quiz because I did have a no fly list for some of the seasons here just to make sure that everything was fair. But Brian Corridan is the correct answer.
Why would a Guatemala question not be fair?
Rob, I've not seen Guatemala. But now that I know that Jordan Kalish loves it. I'll go watch it.
You should. It's a great season. It's really a good season.
It's fine. It's underrated. It's a fine season.
My point is it's underrated.
Great is not a word I've heard to describe.
No, it's not. Mm-hmm. It's not great. But every season of Survivor mostly is great. So I think compared to other Survivor seasons, it's good.
Okay.
That's my ringing endorsement. But it's good. It's fun.
it's the season of Survivor. Yeah.
Yeah. So Rob, where can we catch you? Where can we find you?
Well, you're asking you me ask, my plugs.
Yeah, you always ask. Yeah. What are your plugs?
Well, you Jordan, you know I'm going to be doing a podcasting away over on Rob Has a Podcast. I'm going to talk to Stephen Fishback about the episode, and then of course, Deal or No Deal Island.
Well, that sounds like a lot of interesting content that you're putting out there, Rob. You know, Rob's a podcaster. He has his own podcasting network. It's great.
No way.
Franny, what about you?
Well, you know, I'm no little small guy like Rob. I got a pretty big podcast empire on my hands, which is the Surviving the Dice D&D podcast that I'll plug, which is super, super fun. Just today, well, today that we're filming, we released an episode with Gabby Pascuzzi that was so fun. And we've got some really great guests coming up as well. So stay tuned for that. And then, yeah, you can find me on socials and it's at Hail the Veil. It's my handle on everything.
Sounds good.
That's all I've
got. Anything else now, Jordan?
I mean, should I do mine?
go ahead.
Yeah, you took over.
Where can we find you?
At Jordan Kalish on Twitter. It's where you can find me. I'm always tweeting about, well, now it's more Yankees than anything else. You're probably muting me at this point if you're not a baseball fan. But yeah, follow me at Jordan Kalish. Survivor New York viewing parties every week in the city. If you're in town, feel free to reach out and I'll tell you where it is. Good. Great week on Twitch. We did it. We did it, Rob.
We did it. All right. Thank you, Jordan.
Franny, congratulations.
Great job, Franny. Congratulations. Let's shout out your charity one more time.
Yeah, that is Point of Pride.
Okay.
$100.
$100 to Point of Pride. Great job by you, Franny. Thank you so much for coming back on. Thanks, everybody, for joining us and listening. If you're watching the video version of this, love to hear what you have to say in the comments. We appreciate your likes. And don't forget to subscribe to the channel or the podcast feed. Thank you so much for joining us. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.